You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I'm answering a question from Mary Claire in Illinois. Thanks so much for the question, Mary Claire, and I'm really excited. She's actually asking about a specific child with whom she's working, 10 years old, and she's a little bit in her head about whether or not CCPT is the right approach for him. So I'll read parts of her email and we'll dive in together. And I think before I read the email, I just want to universally and overarchingly say it is one of the most common conversations that I have now that I have thousands of participants and coaching people and collective members and podcast listeners. I have this conversation all the time. People second guess and have doubts about a specific client, a specific family, a specific kid, a specific case. And we have those moments where we just question things. We question ourselves. We question our skills. We question the model. We question the approach. We question if it's working. We question the timeline. And let me just remind and reassure, CCPT works. We know that it does. We know that in spite of us, it works. In spite of resistance on behalf of the child, it works. In spite of the parent not understanding and not buying in, it works. So please just take a breath, reassure yourself, remind yourself that you are doing what the child needs and that you are providing the relationship and the environment for the child to self-actualize. That is one of the things that we really sometimes need to reground ourselves in, I believe. So that's just kind of the big picture. Now we'll read parts of Mary Claire's question and then we'll dive in. I am a child therapist in Illinois. I'm a huge fan of your podcasts. They've made me feel more confident in my sessions with kids and parents. I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing that. And she recommends my podcast to everyone at her office too. So thank you for that. All right. I'm reaching out with a question regarding a kid. I'm using CCPT with a 10-year-old who has ADHD. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm sure my vets know exactly where that's going. The child is anxious at home and school and is resistant, avoidant to share his feelings with his parents, obviously. His mom recently shared with me that after our last session, he told her, "Mom, you're wasting your money. All we do is play." If I had a dime for every time a child said that to a parent, man, I'd be so much more wealthy. Which I know is only how it feels to him. Yes, indeed. That's how it feels to him. But so much more going on. Among the other challenges are that his parents have told me he's experiencing social challenges at school and he still requires his mom to co-sleep with him. His play feels very performative, solo, loud, describing to me what's happening. And it is typically very imaginative with the common idea of fighting bad guys and having superpowers. With all that being said, I'm getting in my head if CCPT is the right approach for him, but I also feel like this is the way to go because of his emotional avoidance. I would love to hear some insight from you if there's anything I can do to get out of my head and enter his world. Well, yes. The answer is yes. We'll dive in. Okay. Let's start with, I don't think for one second this kid has ADHD. And I knew my vets would know that's where I was going. All right. Catch-all diagnosis means nothing. Throw it out the window, cash it out of your brain, and never think about it again. Said lovingly and gently. Also, highly anxious. We know highly anxious kids are going to be highly resistant. It is a natural order of things. Highly anxious means highly resistant. Not necessarily that their resistance phase is bigger, not the phase, just resistant to all of it. Resistant to the work, resistant to the vulnerability, resistant to the process, resistant to opening up, resistant to diving in because it's scary, resistant to talking to mom and dad about it. The list goes on. So we know when you're highly anxious, oh, pop quiz, highly anxious kids, the antidote to high levels of anxiety in children is what? Thank you. Control. So we have a kid grasping at control. Well, here's the Beauty and the Beast. The playroom affords him all the control he can possibly want, but has none of the control that he craves. Do you see what I'm saying? When he comes into a child-centered playroom, he has complete control, but he doesn't want to, quote, just play, because he can't bear the idea of being in charge. He can't own the responsibility. He can't handle the pressure of having to make these big decisions and actually dive into the work that he needs to do. So there's the rub, because he wants it but actually doesn't want it. And you mentioned social challenges. Here's where that's coming from. When you don't have an identity, first of all, this kid has low self-esteem. I did not just try to make that into that song. I don't even know what that song is, but I just heard it in my head as I said that. So you have to keep in mind, social challenges come from a lack of identity, which comes from non-existent self-esteem. Here's how that works. When you don't know who you are, when you have no self-concept, no sense of self, neither do your peers. When you are interacting with peers, every kid wants to be able to know who they're dealing with. And there's a natural order of things amongst peers. There's a sloughing off of rough edges, if you will. So when you're too bossy, no one plays with you. When you cry all the time, no one plays with you. When you're too shy and quiet, no one plays with you. When you have to have your way, no one plays with you. What does that mean? You are forced to kind of have a checks and balances system amongst your peers. And therefore, the label makes sense. Well, that one's kind of bossy. That one's the funny one. That one's the really friendly one. That's the quiet one. That's the one that gets in trouble all the time. This is how we make sense of the world. We categorize. Therefore, he doesn't know who he is. He isn't categorizable. So no kid in his world, at school or elsewhere, is going to understand him and resonate and click with him, because he doesn't even know who he is, let alone who he's putting out into the world. That's a very simple explanation. Low self-esteem. Co-sleeping with mom. First of all, she's enabling that. So that's a parent consultation, careful. Do we say confrontation? Probably, yes. I would say that's a careful confrontation moment. She needs to be equipped with the process of addressing that, because she is allowing that behavior to continue at 10. And therefore, that's part of the issue here. However, sleeping issues are almost always anxiety rooted. You can see how this is all being woven together here. Now, let's move into what you said regarding his play. It's performative, you said. My label for that is self-aggrandizing. And this is the pendulum swinging. He comes in and he describes everything he's doing, and he's loud and he's playing by himself, and it's kind of braggarly, and it's what, well, that is pendulum shift. That is self-esteem work. It's self-aggrandizing. He's making sure that he feels different than he actually is, which leads us to fighting and having superpowers. Superpowers is ideal versus actual. I actually am an anxious wreck. I have no friends. I don't even know who I am. I don't like myself. I can't sleep alone. I'm scared of everything. I don't want to come and do this. I don't want to have to face this. I don't want to be vulnerable. That's his actual self. His ideal self is the one that is brave and strong and has superpowers and is confident and articulate and, you know, really proud of who he is. You can see the self-esteem work taking place in this little bit that you've described. So you're, and the rest of y'all didn't know this, but in the email, she bolded this last sentence. I'm getting in my head if CCPT is the right approach for him. Let me challenge the notion of that sentence. CCPT is the right approach for any child under the age of 14. This has nothing to do with this specific kid, Mary Claire. This has to do with CCPT is the right approach for any child if they're 14 and under. But is this the right approach for him? Absolutely. Not because, as you mentioned, of his emotional avoidance, because of all the stuff that he's already working through. All the stuff we already see evidence that he's working to heal. You didn't mention how many sessions you've had with him, but I suspect not many. I'm going to argue maybe 10-ish. So maybe not even 8 to 10. And we recognize all of this stuff that's coming out already, even in the midst of him saying, "You're wasting your money, Mom. All we do is play." The beauty of CCPT is that when all we do is play, all we do is heal. And all we do is self-actualize. And all we do is work through our junk and become a better version of ourselves. So Mary Claire, I hope that is encouraging to you. You said, is there any insight to get you out of your head and into his world? You're already in his world. You continue to communicate, be with attitudes. You continue to reflectively respond. You continue to adhere to CCPT. And we can see clearly the work that he's already doing. So he will continue to do that. It's relationship, it's environment, time, tools, and opportunity are what you're affording him. So hope that that's an encouragement to all of you. This is week 2 of me being in Australia. So 2 podcasts. This is the only one that you're going to get as far as a listener question this week. But we should be back on track for more questions when I return, which will be in early December. By the way, if you are in the States and or if you celebrate Thanksgiving in a different name, I know Australians have a different name for the day that they use as a Thanksgiving celebration. If you celebrate Thanksgiving and or if you are in the States, happy Thanksgiving. I am truly grateful for each and every one of you. I'm grateful for this family. I'm grateful for the audience. I'm grateful for this platform. I'm grateful for this model. I'm grateful for giants in whose footprints I walk. But really, truly, you all are one of the best parts of my professional life. I want you to know that. I hope that you feel the depth of that sincerity. So as I celebrate Thanksgiving, coming home from Australia, another thing for which I'm very grateful, by the way, but I'm super grateful for each and every one of you and for the collective, for the coaching, for the podcast. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. So love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.